This is Flourish. I'm Caitlin White. With me is Dr. Joseph Bloss, a vascular surgeon from Prisma Health. Today, we will dive into peripheral aneurysms, how they develop, and how they are treated. Well, doctor, welcome to the show. My first question for you is, can aneurysms occur in places other than the brain?
Yeah, so that's a very good opening question. The reality is that people hear aneurysms and they automatically think brain or aorta. But what they don't realize is that these aneurysms can actually develop quite frequently in the arms and legs. And when they declare themselves, oftentimes it's an emergency. So it's less well known, but not less dangerous.
And what does peripheral aneurysm mean?
A peripheral is an overarching term that delineates anything that is outside the central system, like the brain and the aorta. It starts mostly in the iliacs and can go into any other part of the appendage, so your arms or your legs. And that's what we would call peripheral artery aneurysms.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Well, on that note, where in the body are these aneurysms more likely to develop and why?
I think it's worth noting that in order to understand a little bit of this pathophysiology, you've got to understand what an aneurysm is. And so an aneurysm, in just a plain language description, is a localized dilation of an artery. These things can occur in any one of your four extremities. Behind your knees, those called the popliteal artery. In your groins, those are called the common femoral, the superficial femoral, or the profunda femoral, the deep femoral artery. In the arms, it can be an axillary or a subclavian artery aneurysm, or even further down the arm where the artery becomes a little smaller, we call that the brachial artery, and so it can occur there as well.
Well, let's also talk about who is most at risk for developing these peripheral aneurysms. Are there any health conditions or lifestyle factors involved?
Yeah, actually, one of the ways that we can uncover these aneurysms is by a vigorous screening program. And part of that is knowing who's at risk for these aneurysms. And we have very well-defined high-risk groups for people with aneurysmal disease, such as older men, anyone with a smoking history or tobacco use at all, people with an established history of atherosclerosis, and in layman's term, we call that hardening of the arteries. If you have an aneurysm in one area of your body, it is very likely that you have a higher propensity for an aneurysm in another part of your arteries or another area of your body. And so we would screen those people accordingly. And then there are some more unusual type of aneurysms that occur because of previous interventions, like vascular type interventions, like an arteriogram or somebody who had a heart cath, a cardiac cath that went through the artery wall. Those kinds of aneurysms we would call pseudoaneurysms, but those are also, you know, aneurysms that we would need to pay attention to.
Great. Well, you mentioned screening is important when it comes to uncovering these aneurysms, but how otherwise are they diagnosed? Are there symptoms that people should watch out for?
Really, the overarching theme is that the diagnosis for aneurysms is pretty straightforward. The challenge, however, is thinking to look for them. These aneurysms don't cause symptoms unless they have already become complicated, meaning they have caused one of the complications of an aneurysm that we know exist. I can certainly go through that list if that might be helpful.
Sure, I'd love to hear a few.
Yeah, so aneurysms behave in a relatively predictable pattern. Aneurysms grow, and within that growth, the aneurysm can do usually one of four things. An aneurysm can grow to the point where the wall of the aneurysm becomes thin and can rupture. So it can have a break in the integrity of the wall, and then the blood that is usually housed within the artery can exit the artery into the surrounding tissues. And that can be not only a limb-threatening problem, as in the case of peripheral artery aneurysms, but it can be a life-threatening problem, obviously with the blood loss entailed in that. A second thing an aneurysm can do is that it can embolize. And embolize is a term that we use for when something inside the artery breaks off and travels and lodges in a distal part or a further downstream part of the artery, and it may block blood flow to a critical organ or to the foot or the hand. And the reason that that happens is because as the aneurysm grows, clot on the inside of the aneurysm builds up. And with every heartbeat, your body is exerting pressure, a shearing pressure that may cause the clot that's building up inside the aneurysm to break off and go downstream. A third thing is that it can compress other structures. And if aneurysms get large, this is a particular risk in the popliteal artery aneurysms. If aneurysms get large enough, they can take up space, and things that lie adjacent to arteries are found everywhere in the body. And those two things are namely veins and nerves. And so if an aneurysm, say, for instance, the popliteal artery were to get large enough, it could compress the vein and cause a deep vein clot or thrombosis. Or it could compress the nerve and cause symptoms associated with nerve compression, paresthesias, numbness, neuropathy, that sort of thing. And then there are more unusual behavior patterns, but well documented, where they can fistulize. And fistulize is a term that we use to denote a communication between two structures that isn't normally there. So you can think of it as a more controlled rupture, if you will. It ruptured into an adjacent organ or into adjacent vein. And that connection can cause symptoms of swelling, as in the case of a vein, or organ failure, as in the case of rupturing and fistulizing. Those are, in general, the behavior patterns for these aneurysms. And the aneurysms behave in one of these manners. Sometimes they have the ability to behave in more than one of these manners, depending on the location of the aneurysm in the peripheral system. The other behavior pattern that an aneurysm can have is called thrombosis. And that basically means that the amount of clot inside the aneurysm has grown to the degree that it can shut off that artery acutely. Thrombosis denotes acute cessation of blood flow through that artery, usually from blood clot. And when that happens, obviously the organ on the other side of that aneurysm, of that artery, has only a limited amount of time before it will start to have irreversible signs of ischemia or lack of blood flow.
Well, what treatment options exist for these aneurysms located outside of the head, and how are they different from brain aneurysm treatments?
There's not a one-size-fits-all remedy for these aneurysms. There's a lot of decision-making that goes into how we fix them. Now, with technology and as the field has progressed, we have gotten many more tools at our disposal to treat these aneurysms. We can do something as simply as observing an aneurysm. That management strategy is done for aneurysms that are too small to fix. There's still an aneurysm. They have not gotten to the size yet where we would be concerned based on historical literature that they would rupture, or they don't have clot inside them, or previous evidence of it being embolic in nature that we can reasonably survey or observe those aneurysms. Another mode of treatment is the open surgical arm. That's where we actually do bona fide surgery. So we actually open the skin, we go find these aneurysms, and to fix it, we can do either what's called an interposition graft, which means that we open the aneurysm. We typically do a bypass right in the line of the aneurysm, or we can do a bypass around the aneurysm and then tie off the aneurysm above and below to prevent one of those complications that we listed earlier from happening. And a much more common way of treating aneurysms nowadays is the endovascular strategy. So endovascular denotes the ability to treat a pathology, anything, including aneurysms, endovascularly. So from within the vascular system. That's what that word means. And to do that in the cases for aneurysms, we typically use covered stents. So stents are devices that we place into the vascular system, and they are covered around a stainless steel or some sort of metal scaffold. to exclude the aneurysm. So it prevents the blood from exerting continuous pressure on the aneurysm wall to prevent it from growing. Or it can cover the clot that's inside the aneurysm to prevent it from embolizing and going downstream. Most aneurysms are treated endovascularly now, but there are still bona fide situations where open surgical repair remains the gold standard.
Well, what are some of the risks of leaving a peripheral aneurysm untreated?
Yeah, again, these are silent most of the time. And so when they do cause symptoms, it's because they have gone down and behaved in one of those manners that we listed earlier. And so the symptoms that someone would have if these aneurysms were to become complicated, meaning cause complications, would be obviously a high risk of mortality if they bled into a surrounding space and we weren't able to address it quickly. You could get what's called acute limb ischemia, which is a sudden cessation of blood flow to a given organ or appendage that would cause an increased risk for amputation if we weren't able to overcome that situation within a relatively timely fashion. The limb loss, amputation, life loss from the blood loss. Those would be the big ones.
Gotcha. Thank you. Well, you touched on this a bit earlier, but I just want to come back to it. If someone has a peripheral aneurysm and they have it treated, does that still increase their chances of developing another one later, possibly?
Yes. By and large, anyone who has had an aneurysm should undergo surveillance for the aneurysm that they have. If they've had a repair of that aneurysm, they should undergo surveillance of the repair of the aneurysm that they have. And if they have an aneurysm that is either repaired or under surveillance, they should be screened for other aneurysms elsewhere in the body.
All right. And my last question today, doctor, are there steps that people can take to reduce their risk or even prevent peripheral aneurysms from forming?
The big thing is to modify your risk factor profile. So as these aneurysms are associated with age, smoking, atherosclerosis, known aneurysms elsewhere, by controlling some of the lifestyle things that can cause aneurysms, like smoking and the development of atherosclerosis, that's usually a part of having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, renal failure. Those are the biggest opportunities to decrease the chance of you forming these aneurysms.
That was Dr. Joseph Bloss. For more information, go to prismahealth.org/flourish. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Caitlin White, and this is Flourish. Thanks for listening.